Chapter 50 Whispers and Secrets.
"I can't see a thing," Volney whispered as he and Gerund peered through the open entrance of the Hall of Three Moons into an absolute blackness. Cloud cover obscured the light of the moons, and the fireflies that had illuminated the ceremony the night before did not appear to sense their plight or deem it important enough to return.
"What do we do?"
"We wait," Gerund said, stepping to the left of the entryway and secreting himself inside the dense wall of flowering bushes that lined the building. Volney pulled his cloak about himself and hunched down next to his companion, boots squishing in the mud. After arranging the branches to minimize their uncomfortable poking, Volney whispered,
"If you don't mind me saying so, Prince Kildan, you seem to be quite angry about this assignment. I thought you should be happy to aid your prestigious countryman, whatever his mistakes. At the very least, it is an honour to serve the First Mother."
Geron's tone reflected his unhappy feelings.
"Maywen asked us to do this, not the First Mother."
"You know better, Gerund. Maywen acts on the First Mother's instructions. Surely you do not regard what we are doing as dishonourable?"
"Dishonourable? He nearly killed the Ha'ulric. Do you understand what that means? I dislike Shatan as much as any decent person, but whether we like it or not, the world must have him. If Jen would have succeeded, this whole trip and the lives sacrificed to get us here would be for naught. This world nearly met its end at Jen's hands last night."
"I understand.
But there's something else at stake here, isn't there? Something is eating at you."
Gerund sighed.
"I think by accepting this assignment, I will, at last, have sealed the dishonour of my family."
"Why?"
"I'll tell you a little family secret, Volney. You remember when Dayson lost the protectorship?"
"Certainly."
"My father has not written to Dayson since then, and the letters I received before this journey were nothing but admonitions to be circumspect in my behaviour, lest I further disgrace the family name. Dayson was my father's pride, and I continually strove to match him in skill and honour. Once Dayson fell from his position, my father looked to me to restore our good name among Rugothians and to staunch the gossip in the courts at home. What will happen when the news spreads that I deserted the Ha'ulric and the Shalane to aid the man who tried to assassinate the saviour of the world?"
Volney frowned.
"Then why accept this assignment at all, Gerund? You could have declined, and Kimdan would have taken your place."
"I have asked myself that very question repeatedly for the last 2 hours," Gerund answered. "I might ask you the same. You cannot be ignorant of the potential consequences for you or your family."
"I did this because I think the First Mother and the Shalane wish to see Jen safe. I know Shatan is my king, but I feel no attachment to him as I do to them.
And Gerund, while Jen endangered Kihol, can you not see that Shatan not only wished for, but planned out and invited the confrontation? He hoped Jen would attack him, so he could demonstrate his power, a folly that almost turned to his own ruin. If Shatan were any other person, every decent man would pledge their support to Jen now."
"And therein lies my difficulty," Gerund said earnestly. "Shatan isn't just another man, and Jen has never given him any consideration for his station or his mighty purpose in the prophecy. He impudently and repeatedly crossed the most important man in the world, that is recklessness. If Shatan wrote the invitation to a confrontation, then Jen addressed and sealed it."
"I can see your point, Gerund, but I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it truthfully."
"As I answer all questions."
"Of course," Volney snorted. "The first night we were on duty, and Jen challenged Shatan for the Shalane's honour. How did you feel when he won?"
"That's not fair."
"Oh, yes, it is," said Volney. "It is the very crux of the matter. I'll tell you how you felt. Your whole soul rejoiced. Joy, pride, and satisfaction coursed through your veins. You felt honoured to be his countryman. You counted yourself blessed to keep company with and wear the same uniform as such a man. You chided yourself for not taking the initiative in the matter before he did. You cursed your brother Dayson for his weakness in not supporting him. Tell me it wasn't so."
Gerund rubbed his eyes.
"You know I cannot."
"Then how can you fault that same man, Kihol notwithstanding, for confronting personal and despicable attacks from even the Ha'ulric himself? Should he have sought Shatan's life? No, but for pity's sake you must see that save for the Ha'ulric's calling, Jen was entirely justified. That is enough for me. Shatan's destiny is holy, but his cause has yet to be just."
Gerund kept whatever he felt to himself, and they settled in to wait until morning light. Following Maywen's instructions, they had loaded their armour and their portion of food onto one of the horses and led it back to the holy city. They staked the horse behind the Hall of Three Moons and had tried to cross into the building, only to be met with a severe shock from Athan's ward that addled their minds and set them on the verge of vomiting. They had called Jen's name several times with no reply, and then resigned themselves to watch. For the half-elven tracker feared that Shertan or Athan would attempt to end Jen's life. The wind blew more frequently as the night deepened, and booms of thunder in the west portended more rain to come. Gerund and Volney backed further into the bushes until they encountered the outer wall of the building and sat on a small, rounded ledge at its base. Trees and bushes bent and swayed in the wind, boughs and limbs creaking and bending in sudden gusts.
"Do you think anyone will come?"
Gerund quietly asked.
"Not really," Volney yawned.
"You're wrong. Get low and be quiet."
They slipped from the ledge and crouched among the pink and white blossoms, pushing them softly aside to gain a vantage point on the walk leading up to the entrance of the hall. At first, Volney thought Gerund was mistaken. Save for the weather, all was preternaturally still. But after several minutes of trying to tame his pounding heart, he heard and then saw a man approaching. His drawn sword glinted dully in the weak light, but despite the knight's obfuscation, they recognized him as one of the Augmerian soldiers. The soldier ascended the steps warily. In his surprise, Volney's fingers slipped from the branch he had lowered, and it snapped upward noisily. Gerund dug his fingers into Volney's arm with one hand and placed the other on his own sword hilt. The Augmerian stopped and squinted into the dark in their direction. Volney stiffened as a wind kicked up, noisily disturbing the trees nearby. The soldier surveyed the area around him for several long moments.
"Curse this darkness,"
he muttered, before planting his feet in front of the arched entryway and bowing his head. After a few moments, he stepped forward tentatively, sword pointing ahead of him, until he at last passed inside.
"The ward is down,"
Volney whispered excitedly.
"We have to get in there."
"Take off your boots,"
Gerund commanded, sitting on the wet ground and working at his own.
"What? Just do it, quickly."
Gerund led Volney out of the bushes and to the edge of the entryway. Water soaked into their woolen stockings, but as they neared the entry, Volney understood Gerund's reasoning. The Augmerian's booted footsteps echoed loudly through the empty chamber. Gerund pulled him back from the door.
"Hug the edge of the entryway and pass inside quickly. We will be silhouetted against it momentarily. If he is looking this way, he may see us. Go."
Without further explanation, Gerund slipped inside. Volney followed him, hugging the cold entry stones as he rounded the corner. Gerund touched Volney's shoulder once inside to signal where he was. The darkness in the hall was complete. For several seconds, they listened to the soldier wandering aimlessly to and fro about the hall, footsteps echoing through the dome. The blackness foiled an easy search, evincing a great deal of foul language from the searcher. All torches and lanterns had been lost in the giant's attack, and the wet weather spoiled their ability to create new ones. During one of the Augmerian's tirades, Gerund whispered,
"Last I remember, the pontiff trapped him near the dais on this side, though he could have moved anywhere by now. Put your hand on the wall and let's follow it. We should find the entrance to one of the side chambers before too long."
Their socks allowed for silent walking, though both men struggled to keep their scabbards from banging into the wall. The sound of footsteps nearing their position brought them both to a standstill.
"Where are you, Jen?" the soldier called, feigning concern. "I'm here to help you."
He approached a spot just behind where Gerund and Volney stood, frozen and afraid to breathe.
"Those side chambers were around here somewhere," the soldier mumbled to himself.
Silently, Gerund pulled Volney away from the wall and out toward the middle of the chamber. To their left, the soldier passed by, scraping his sword along the wall to guide himself. The rustling of curtains signaled his entry into the nearest chamber. Volney exhaled, wondering how long it had been since he last took breath. A soft glow in front of his face startled him. A firefly. In the profound darkness, the weak light illuminated Gerund's face briefly. Volney cursed their luck. When they needed light, the insects wouldn't come. Now that they needed darkness, they appeared. But as they stood stock still, the firefly moved away and hovered 10 feet from them. Gerund followed. Foot by foot, it flew ahead of them, leading them across the expanse of the hall. Glow. Darkness. Glow. They were near the thrones. Darkness. Volney kept his hand on Gerund's shoulder as they inched forward. Glow. Darkness. glow. A waxy, pale face, eyes open, stared unblinking toward the hall's entrance. Darkness.
"Is he dead?"
Volney asked quietly. Glow. The eyes slowly turned toward them. Darkness.
"Jen," Gerund whispered. "It's Gerund and Volney. Stay still. We'll get you out of here."
Darkness.
"Where's that firefly now?"
Volney muttered.
"Hey!" someone shouted. Volney gulped air and went for his sword. "I'm tired of hunting in the dark. I'm here to help you. All I need is a word and I can find you."
Volney relaxed the grip on his hilt, and he and Gerund waited and listened, crouching by Jen. Legs cramped as the Augmerian wandered seemingly at random around the dark room. At length, the footsteps faded toward the side chambers on the opposite side of the hall.
"Grab Jen's feet,"
Gerund ordered.
"We go now or not at all."
Volney felt around, hand knocking against Jen's boots and socks, which lay discarded by his feet.
"He'll need those," he thought.
Gathering them, he placed them on Jen's chest. He leaned close.
"Can you hold these?"
There was no response.
"Try shoving them under his shirt," Gerund suggested. "Hurry."
Volney worked quickly, but the awkward task proved difficult despite its apparent simplicity.
"What about his sword?" "Forget it, Volney. We'll find another."
With effort, they hoisted Jen's flaccid body and half-carried, half-dragged him toward the entrance.
"I tire of this,"
the Augmerian's voice abruptly split the silence, sending Volney's heart to pounding.
"You must help me find you."
They stopped, but as they bent to lay Jen gently on the ground, their scabbards clacked against the stones.
"There you are! I'm coming!"
Gerund and Volney drew steel, the echo multiplying the sound.
"No, no, I'm here to help!"
The voice was nervous, and Gerund grinned. The Augmerian had no stomach for facing Jen, however sick he may be.
"I can't see a thing. Let's meet by the door."
"Me first,"
Gerund growled in his best Jen imitation.
"All right, I'll walk over nice and slow. You go ahead of me."
Replacing their swords in unison and hoisting Jen, they ambled as quickly as they could toward the entrance. But when they were 10 feet from the opening, the gig was up.
"Mikkek's beard!"
the soldier exclaimed. Gerund carefully set Jen down and pulled his sword.
"Drag him out, Volney."
Volney pulled Jen out into the night as Gerund disappeared into the darkness, moving to the side to mask his location. Volney dragged Jen off to the side of the walk and took up position in front of the door in case the Augmerian bolted. Inside, the soldier had gone quiet.
"He knows he is at a disadvantage," Gerund thought. "If he can hide and stay alive, he can return to camp and report."
While ill at ease in the inky dark, Gerund thrilled at a chance to sink his blade into an Augmerian. The list of his friends, lost in Shaddan Cairn's invasion, was long. He crouched and attuned his ears to the sounds around him, noticing Volney's silhouette against the entrance.
"Stand away from the door, idiot,"
Gerund remonstrated.
"What if he has a bow?"
After several agonizing minutes of absolute silence, Gerund stood.
"We'll just guard the door and wait for morning. This is insane."
Glow. Darkness. Gerund stepped quietly toward the soft yellow light. Glow. Darkness. Glow. Darkness. To the right across the hall it led him until it hovered in front of the thick curtains covering the side chamber where Jen had rested before the wedding. Gerund did not want to charge into the room, but as he watched, the firefly's light dropped from eye level to chest level. Gerund lunged, blade passing through the curtain and plunging into the Augmerian's chest. The soldier slumped to the floor with only the intake of an unfinished scream to mark his passing. Glow. Blood ran under the curtain. Darkness.
"He's down!"
Gerund went through the curtain and, after fumbling around, removed the soldier's sword and scabbard for Jen. That done, he sprinted for the door, feet pattering across the smooth tiles, damp blossoms sticking to his socks.
"Stop, Gerund, stop!"
Volney yelled. Gerund pulled up short, heart sinking. Volney stood well away from the entrance now.
"Is it?"
"Yes, the moment you yelled, he's down."
"Mikkek's beard."
Ethan marched inside the building, face burning with such lively anger that the groggy travellers immediately stopped packing and eating.
"How could you do this, Mirel?"
he yelled, planting his feet in front of her.
"We need those two to get home."
"What do you mean by confronting me in this state?" Mirel answered, face annoyed as she turned from a conversation she was having with Maywan.
"What is it that you think I have done? "Don't play games, Mirel,"
Aethon raged. "This is not the time. We are in grave danger and need every sword available."
"I still don't comprehend your meaning."
"Gerund and Volney! You ordered them back to help Jen."
Mirel folded her arms.
"I most certainly did not."
"And you expect me to believe that?
If you want to believe the truth. You seem to forget that Gerund and Volney were Jen's best friends while he served in Rugoth, and were no doubt deeply concerned for his welfare. Besides, they are no longer mine to command."
"They are mine to command,"
Shartan asserted, joining them. A clump of blonde hair jutted away from his head, and his eyes rested on the puffy bags beneath them.
"And I gave no such order. They have committed treason in this abandonment, and will be punished for it when they are caught."
"Yes, Aethon, he is the commander of everyone here," Mirel said with a dash of mockery. "And, let me count now, and my goodness, we are missing an Ogmerian soldier as well. Now I wonder where he might have wandered off to. Surely he wasn't a friend of Jen's, as Gerund and Volney were. Do you happen to know where that soldier is, Padra? Your Eminence?"
Shartan scrunched his brow and started counting the soldiers. Padra Aethon ground his teeth.
"Mirel, it is imperative that Jen not be set free. He attempted to kill the Ha'ulric and is a threat to the redemption of Kihol. You must see both the justice and the reason in holding him there."
"Padra, why are you explaining this to me?
Perhaps you should mount your horse, ride to Elder Lurimora, and give your sermon to Gerund and Volney.
Besides, you haven't let your ward down, have you?"
"Of course not," Aethon growled. "But
then why the fuss? It seems we have nothing to worry about from Jen."
Aethon brought his hand to his face, covering his mouth and his chin as he debated with himself. A room full of silent people awaited the outcome of the spat.
"May I have a private word with you, Mirel?" Padra Aethon requested.
"Of course, Padra. Cadean, stay here for a moment. I will return shortly."
Cadean nodded, levelling one of his warning stares at the churchman. Mirel and Aethon left the building through the rear entrance, walking a short distance into the woods. Musty, cool air assaulted their noses, and the sky still closed itself against the morning sun. It had rained in spurts throughout the night, letting up near dawn. Water dripped from branch and leaf, and the ground squished unsteadily beneath their feet. Padra Aethon stared off into the forest, hand on a damp trunk, carefully thinking how to formulate his words. Mirel folded her arms across her chest, warming herself as she waited in the early autumn chill. The Padra, thoughts collected, lifted his eyes to meet Mirel's. Hers were ice blue, set in a stubborn, confident stare. Aethon had never met her equal, in beauty or in exercise of will. A purpose, some mission she clung to with religious tenacity, lurked behind those eyes and lent her iron. If he were ever to control the woman, the Padra knew he needed to find what propped her up and put it into his own grasp.
"Mirel, I need to tell you something. You will not believe it, but you must listen to me. It is the truth. Just before the old pontiff died, he relayed a message to me that was most distressing and shocking. After we left the Hall of Three Moons following the ceremony, the pontiff examined Jen. Now, do not get angry when I say this. It is not baseless speculation. Shartan and I did not collude to invent this fact as a wild rumor to discredit Jen. Hear me, Mirel. The man Jen, the one you let into your house and appointed to guard the Shalane, is the very ilk."
"Yes, he is."
Padra Aethon reeled, mouth unhinging for several seconds.
What? You know? Merciful Eldaloth, Mirel, how long have you known this? Did Shartan tell you last night?"
"No, I've known since the night of the betrothal, the one that succeeded, I mean."
"How?"
"Do keep your voice down, Padra. Ethrys confirmed it the night the Shalane tried to heal Jen of the demon's poison."
"You will be executed for this, the both of you."
"We will deny everything."
Aethon stabbed a finger at her.
"Our magic can force the truth from you."
"Ethrys has already made a provision for us against such an eventuality.
Of course, any attempt to perform such an interrogation would be viewed with much disfavour.
If only you and Shartan hadn't tried so hard to discredit Jen in the first place, maybe you could accuse him now with some success. I'm afraid you've quite worn out your credit with Rugothian and Tolnorian nobility."
"Mirel, I thought you were a sensible woman. How could you gamble your daughter's life like this? Indeed, how could you gamble the safety of Kihol?"
"Gamble?" Mirel stepped close, eyes firm.
The real gamble stands inside that building, dumbly counting his soldiers. I have ample proof that Jen has rejected his calling as the Ilk, and now serves the interest of my daughter and the world. I have yet to see one shred of evidence that Shatan is either competent or serves any interest but his own. Think about it, Ethan. The only two questions Shatan ever answers with any authority are, do you hate Jen, and would you like another ale, Your Grace? He can't lead. He can't fight. He loves nothing. As a magician, you know better than I do that he has no will to work magic of any potency. I'll ride with Jen to the battlefield at doomsday. You go with Shatan. We'll see who is dead when the first arrows fly.
Where is your faith, Mirel? Ethan countered. The prophecy says Shatan is to be Eldoloth's instrument in fighting Mikkik. Are you saying that you don't believe that any more? Are you saying that Eldoloth will not use his power to bolster and protect Shatan in that hour?
Padre, what I'm saying is that I don't believe in Shatan. It is enough that I let my daughter marry that boar so that he could father the child. Even so, every time I see the Shalane, I feel like falling to my knees and begging forgiveness for ever letting her take an oath to bind herself to that man. It is my dearest wish to give the Shalane what compensation and relief that a mother can from such a dismal life.
Does the Shalane know about Jen?
No.
She will, Mirel. It will be known. Some day everyone will know. I will see it done.
Much to Ethan's annoyance, Mirel laughed out loud. Very amusing, Ethan. I do pity you. You are duty-bound to return to the kingdoms and convince the people that Jen is the Ilk and that Shatan is their competent, holy leader. I'm not sure which task will be more difficult. Perhaps you should practice by persuading people that white is black and a rat is a greyhound. At least you and Shatan have had the good sense not to make such revelations to our little party. Go ahead and tell the world, if you think you'll fare any better there than you would here.
Nothing to say, Ethan?
Well, while we're being forthright, I must inform you that your attempt on my life and Jen's life the day we left Mikmir has not gone unnoticed by me. I confess it took me some time to sort out, but I did at last.
I ordered no such thing.
The First Mother grinned. Of course not. Just like I didn't order Gerund and Volney to help Jen. Well, I think you are far too angry for further discussion now. I wish you the best of luck training your new pontiff. Mirel strode back inside, face pleasant, to a room full of questioning glances. Ethan did not return until everything was packed and everyone mounted. He did not speak another word that day.